It's far easier to discover your passions and your purpose if you're out there doing stuff, because you get instant feedback, and you get feedback in the form of your feelings, right? Like you discover like, wow, that was interesting. Or like, oh, I feel a little tug of excitement around that. Or
yeah,
that felt really fulfilling. And then that motivates you to keep doing it. And so there's a, I feel like maybe the best way to think about it is like, there's a short-term period where introspection can be really helpful in terms of setting you up, but it should set you up for practice and for expression and like being out there, you know? And if you're stuck too long in the introspection stage, you can get stuck and, you know, actually never move forward, which is how I felt. You know, I spent, I don't know, 8 years feeling stuck, unable to move forward. And it wasn't until I started doing stuff that it started to change.
Yeah. I love that instant feedback piece. That's the, I think the value of putting your work out there,
whether it was
through the newsletter that you started off with 17 people to reaching millions today. Can you share a little bit about some of the costs? Cause we've touched on a few, but some of the costs of Old Happy.
Yeah.
I did hear you share that while you were in grad school, you had a lot of questions around what you were learning. Can you bring us back to that time? And firsthand, you'd also shared that you experienced, you know, the detriments of living in an achievement-oriented culture. So what are the costs of Old Happy?
Yeah. Gosh, where to begin? So Old Happy is my name for what our society teaches us about happiness and the culture that springs up surrounding it. And so from the time that we're born, we get all these messages about what we should do with our lives and how we should behave and what we should look like and all that kind of stuff. And then most of us conform. Most of us take those messages on board. I certainly did. We kind of follow this predetermined script of, you know, trying to follow through on that. And I argue in my book that that's because we're trying to be happy. We think that doing these things will ultimately lead to happiness. And because happiness is the most important goal for all of us, you know, it becomes very powerful. And so for me, one of the ways that manifested was thinking, okay, once I get this fancy job, then I'll be happy. Or, hey, if you can just lose XYZ amount of weight, then you'll be happy. Or if you can just, you know, find somebody to love you, then you'll be happy. Like whatever it was, right? Like any sort of condition. But it wasn't even that I thought it would make me happy. It's that I thought it would make me worthy of happiness. I thought it would make show that I was good enough finally. And then that would lead to the feeling of fulfillment that I was looking for. And that's what's really going on here, is that our society has given us all of these conditions of self-worth that come in the form of specific achievements that we have to pursue. And then not only that, but if you want to achieve those things in the right way, you have to do it by yourself. You can't ask for help. You can't lean on other people. You have to be totally independent. You can never struggle. You can never experience difficult emotions. And all of that combined adds up to this construct that I call Old Happy. So the cost for me, oh, sorry, what was that? You're on mute.
I was saying that's heavy. It's super heavy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a weight that we carry, I think, literally, you know, in terms of heaviness. And for me, the costs of that were physical illness, struggles with my mental health, panic attacks, loneliness, feeling lost, feeling like I had no purpose, feeling like I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, feeling like, what was the point of, you know, continuing to pursue things that used to make me feel good, all of that. And then, you know, more broadly at a societal level, when we look at the research on these impacts, it's all of that magnified, right? We have an epidemic of depression, anxiety, and loneliness. We have these profound struggles that we're facing with our mental health. You know, like 1 in 3 Americans say they don't have somebody to confide in. And that's a direct consequence of our culture of individualism. We have hundreds of massive, devastating global problems that could all be fixed. And yet we refuse to attend to them, most of us, in a meaningful way, because we're worried about pursuing our own achievement-oriented goals and desires rather than devoting ourselves to the common good. You know, we have this kind of, we have a planet that we're destroying because we think that the short-term happiness of, you know, getting on an airplane and traveling is going to make us feel better, versus thinking more holistically about sustainability and what each of us can do, as well as holding companies and governments accountable for what they do. We have like just so many different challenges that we're facing. And I ultimately think that a lot of them, if not all of them, stem in one way or another from Old Happy. And part of the book is actually like providing the research and the examples of what that looks like. I think that it affects everything in our lives. It affects our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with others, our communities, our workplaces. You know, there's so many impacts, and starting to unwind and unpack those is sort of, I think, the next big step for all of us if we want to actually move towards a happier world.
Yeah. And you mentioned, well, the cultural implications of living in this type of society. What have you learned from other cultures that have inspired you to know and really live by a better way? Are there any particular...
There's so much we can learn from these other cultures and the values that they have and that they kind of teach and espouse as well. So there's been a lot of research looking at happiness in individualistic countries like the United States or Canada, and then ones that look at happiness in more collectivist countries. And, you know, those include a lot of Asian countries. And then there's amazing, you know, research being done on African countries and the different approach in their worldviews and the emphasis that they put on interconnectedness, which is something that we absolutely completely need to need to honor in order to ever find any sort of happiness. So I think that from my perspective, individualism is really baked into the American ethos and DNA. It's something that's a core part of this culture. And I'm not going to be able to change that. Like, that's not something I have the power to do. But I think that the opportunity lies in asking, you know, I have all this individual freedom. I have these opportunities to be authentic and express myself. Am I doing it just for me, or am I doing it for others? Can I use who I am to contribute to the world around me? Because that sort of takes the best of both worlds in many ways. It takes the emphasis on an individual's strengths and gifts, but also integrates them within a broader fabric of a community and thinking about how one affects the other and vice versa, and where we can find not only harmony between the two, but an elevation of the two. Can the individual be used to make that community or the world a thriving, more equitable, more compassionate place? And then if so, what are the impacts of that community upon that individual? And then how does it ripple out to individuals who haven't even been born yet, or towards, you know, people who might not be physically able or supported in being able to express themselves in those ways? How can that contribute to elevating the quality of life and well-being for all of us? And so I think it's kind of that blended approach that I'm striving to advocate for here.
At the very essence of your work, is that what you're trying to give people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, like, you know, I always say, you read the quote, like I always say the kind of unofficial motto of the New Happy is, we are here to help each other. And that's the secret to happiness. We're supposed to help using who we are, and we're supposed to receive help using who others are. And that is what allows us to experience happiness and joy. And at the same time, that's what will help us to make a better world.